Hello, hello. Welcome to yet another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. In this episode, entitled The Reborn of PodSqueeze, I want to tell you the whole story on how we are overcoming the plateau that our startup PodSqueeze is facing. There will be a lot of ups and downs. There will be some co-founders drama, and there'll be a lot of lessons that we have learned as entrepreneurs around marketing, around building a team, around building a product and everything. So it's a very packed episode. I will lay down everything chronologically, what we did, and I think it's a really cool episode for you to stick around. Before we get started, welcome. This is the Indie Founder Podcast, the podcast about my indie journey. My name is Tiago, and this is season 2. We started this podcast with season 1. Before, it was called The Wannabe Entrepreneur. Now, it's called The Indie Founder. If you want to follow me, you can do so on Twitter. WBE Tiago is my handle. And if you want to support this podcast, there's two things you can do. First, please make sure to give it 5-star review. While you're listening to it, just go ahead and give it 5 stars, if that's fine. Or, as well, sharing with your friends. And if you really, really want to support, plus have really nice t-shirts and merch, in the link below, you will have a link to my store with my own designs for indie merch, like really cool t-shirts and posters and cups and everything. Okay, so let's get started with today's episode. So to give you some context, and I guess if you're listening to this, you probably know what PodSqueeze is. If you don't, it's basically a tool to help podcasters repurpose their content. So we're targeting podcasters, we do show notes, and we do a bunch of stuff now. That will also be part of this episode. But once we started PodSqueeze, just for you to understand the background, Joe and I, so we are both the co-founders, we have been trying to be entrepreneurs, like full-time entrepreneurs, for like almost 10 years, 8 years, 7 years, I don't even know. And we tried a lot of things. Jerome tried a lot of different projects in different realms. I as well, mostly in the kind of online SaaS business. But Jerome, no, he did actually other stuff. He had like a cookie dough business where he sold cookie dough. He had some more kind of hardware as well. He sold kind of pots, like a special kind of pots for plants that you can just hang on the walls. Really cool stuff. But we never found something that was actually properly paying the bills. It was always like kind of minimum wage. And for me, not even that. It was really, really, really low. So PodSqueeze was very new because the moment we launched, in the first like month or two, we immediately reached, I don't even know now, but like 3K MRR or something like this. And for the next 3, 4, 5 months, there was really some constant growth, like incredible growth. Something that we've never seen before. Something that made us believe that we would be unstoppable. There would be nothing else that could stop us. And we would just kind of relax and get our millions. Well, unfortunately, entrepreneurship is not easy. And easy money is a scam. Yes. Even recently, sorry for the side note here, but I want to say, I just saw this post on Twitter where someone said, I just launched my startup in 48 hours and I'm already making 10K MRR. And he didn't say what was the startup. He didn't say, the only thing he said is, tomorrow I'll do a call to explain everything to you. Clearly like some scam selling you some crypto shit or something. So yeah, if there's one big lesson, and spoiler alert, is that there is no easy money. Like, entrepreneurship is hard. But yeah, so after 7 months of growing PodSqueeze and this amazing cruise growth, we on September, so we launched in February, end of February, and then in September, my co-founder, we were actually in Berlin. We were in this conference. It was our first conference. We actually traveled abroad to a conference, a podcasting conference that we sponsored with PodSqueeze. And we were noticing that there was some kind of degrowth or like a plateau. We didn't have as many people coming to the website and the MRR was not growing as much. And my co-founder was very stressed. So imagine us walking in the streets of Berlin. It was really cold. It was actually, I think, October or November, but it was already cold in Germany. And we were just walking and walking towards the venue where the conference was. And my co-founder was just, the whole journey, I think it was like 30 minutes journey. It was like, man, we are dying. Like, there's nothing else we can do. We are dying and we need to, I don't know, it was kind of stressed. And what frustrated me the most was the fact that it was not coming with any solutions. It was like, yeah, we are dying. There's nothing we can do. And as you'll see in this whole journey, Joan and I are very similar in certain things, and other things we are very different. In a way, that's really good because we have complementary skills. In other ways, sometimes it can be frustrating, like for both of us. Anyway, so it was very much in this, and I was in my element because I love networking. I love being in like conferences, so I was really enjoying this. It was a very tiring process, but very, very enjoyable. So yeah, it was really bumming me out in my walk towards the conference, where I had to kind of sell PodSqueeze and say to everyone that PodSqueeze is amazing, to have this co-founder telling me that no, something is wrong. Anyways, we eventually returned and he did like a full presentation, and I was looking at it, and indeed it seemed that we were losing some traction. With that I mean that our number of users, people that were coming to the website, was going down. And back then, more or less in that time, it's when we started actually investing on SEO. SEO, search engine optimization, is basically when someone searches on Google for podcast summarization, whatever, you want to be on the top three results, actually. So there's some data on that. I think if you are in the top three, like it actually goes down quite deeply from like the first result, you get a lot of traffic, then a little bit less. And then in like, let's say, fifth, sixth result, you almost get no traffic. So you want to be in the top three for sure. And we're working on that. And the problem is that SEO takes some time. It's not something that you do it and the next day you immediately get results. It's not like posting a tweet or posting on like a launch, like on Reddit or something, where you immediately see results. No, this kind of marketing takes time. It might take 2 months, 3 months to actually start so that you can harvest the fruits. But once you do, it's amazing because it's very passive. You don't need to do a lot of things. So that was my counter-argument to him. Like, yeah, we're just doing SEO. And I mean, yes, like it will take some time, but we'll start recovering. So back then, we decided to do something which I still consider to be one of my best decisions as an entrepreneur so far in my career, on our career. But I think this one actually was my idea, which was to hire some external help. This is crucial. So SEO is something that once you know the rules, you can easily reproduce it. But to learn the rules, it takes some time. And sure, we could have spent 1, 2, 3 months trying a bunch of things, reading shit, and eventually figuring it out. But if you can hire someone for like, even if it's $1,000 and they can do an audit and explain it to you, why not? Right? You're just saving yourself a lot of time. So that's what we did. We hired an auditor. He did an audit for us and he explained to us how SEO works. And sure, we already knew some basis, but we didn't know a lot of stuff. First of all, we did a full audit on the website, making it fast, making it that you know, Google didn't have to kind of sweat too much to be able to crawl our pages. And then we learned about clusters and keywords, and that you can actually search. There's a bunch of tools that you can use that tell you, first of all, how many people are searching for that keyword and what's the competition. And with that, I mean how many other web pages are ranking for that same keyword. So we learned about that. And Joan since then started like a whole work of developing our SEO. And it's really a lot of work. It's really a lot of work. It starts from doing the whole keyword analysis, then creating amazing content in that regard. And then as well doing clusters. And what is a cluster? It's basically a set of blog posts and landing pages that point to each other and have kind of a keyword as common. So let's say, for instance, for podcast summarization, you can have podcast show notes, podcast transcripts, podcast summarization, whatever. A lot of different keywords that basically point towards the same, which is this idea of creating show notes, creating summarization for your podcast. But all of these pages are different and they point to each other. And that's one cluster. And then you can do clusters for other things. You can actually do just clusters around show notes, another one just around transcripts, another one just around blog posts, whatever. So there was a lot of work there. And that's when basically Juan was also kind of frustrated in that regard, because it was a lot of work and annoying work. You have to write a lot. So that's when we actually hired our Bayo. Adebayo is our content writer. And I think, like, for me so far, investment on people has been always good. I know that in the indie maker world, people always say that you should be a solo founder and like try to automate a lot of stuff. And sure, yeah, that's good. But it's really rare when you find something that is fully automated and really, really good. So having someone that is working for you and thinking with you, I think that's really important. Especially when you're hiring someone and they're not in management positions, they are mostly doers, right? So you give them a task and they do it. But a lot of these people that we hired, you know, Adebayo being one of them, they have a lot of, you know, they're very young actually, and they're hustling, and they really come up with their own ideas and projects that they want to try with us, which I really appreciate. So it was really cool. It was a good hire, and we started building a lot around that. And at the same time, we launched clips, video clips. So we noticed, we did like some research on other tools around us. And actually our customers were asking for this. Hey, I want clips. I want to transform my podcast into little short clips that I can share on social media. So we launched that. It was a very hard work. And back then, by the way, I also hired a developer to work with us, which also has been, again, crucial. And we shipped it. We shipped the clip generation. And we launched it. And we didn't see much traction. Yeah, we just launched the clip generation. And we actually, the API we're using was giving us a bunch of credits. But we're not using all of them. We're not even using half of them. We're just paying, I think it was $150 per month, something like that. But we're not using it. So it was frustrating because people were asking for this. Some people were using it, but not a lot. And we didn't really understand why. So then it came the end of the year. And now we are in January. So basically, by the way, December was terrible. Like really, for the first time we noticed, it was our first December with the tool, with PodSqueeze. And we saw like the huge, you know, dip. Like people were not in working mode at all. Especially the last 2 weeks of December, we saw like our MRR just going down. It's really frustrating. Sure, we could connect that with Christmas, but it's still scary, you know? Because you don't know if it will kind of get better. Yeah. So back then, what I noticed with my co-founder was that he was, very motivated still, like working a lot in SEO, but not as motivated as when we were growing, which is, I understand that. So there was a different mode. So it's not like we are growing mode, let's try to keep it up. It's more like, let's maintain it. I mean, there's nothing much we can do. Let's just, do what we know it works. And hopefully this will pick up. Which is a different, kind of different mindsets. That eventually might, I'll let you keep telling you the story and let you know how this will affect also our relationship. But let me just drink a sip of water while you think about this. There's a lot of talking here, huh, with the podcast. So, yeah, the 2024 came along and we decided to do a new Product Hunt launch. We did one when we first launched PodSqueeze, and then we decided, now, you know, we have the clips now. This is a new feature, really cool feature. Why not just do another Product Hunt launch and focus more on the clips? So this was around, I think, end of January. We did that launch. And it was good. It was not as successful as the first one, but it was still top five. And back then we noticed that we got around 400, 500 people coming from Product Hunt to our website. So, I don't know. We looked at it and we said like, okay, cool. I mean, even here you can see that there's less traction than before. And yeah, I don't know. Now, as I'm telling you the story, and I'm sure that my co-founder will also listen to this, but I don't know. I always felt that from him was already a little bit of pessimism, and he is more pessimist than I am, for sure. And sometimes that's also good, because I am too optimistic and maybe a little bit naive in certain things. But yeah, even then we look at it, it's like, yeah, it failed. Prashant didn't work so well. But yeah, we moved on. And funny enough, in the next 2-3 weeks, so not right during the launch, but after maybe a week after the launch on Product Hunt, we started noticing a growth on our MRR again. And back then, we were just trying a bunch of stuff, right? So we launched the clips. I interviewed or read the book from Rob Walling, where he just has the whole chapter about like increasing prices. So I said, like, João, we need to increase prices. Like, that's what we need to do. You know, it's very chaotic. It's so hard to describe if you don't have a company to understand like what's going on. Because imagine you are like in piloting a plane and you see that the plane is kind of losing altitude slowly, but surely. And you don't really know what to do. You look at all the metrics. You look at everything. I mean, you do notice a few metrics, fuel, and a few things are not great, but you don't really know how to fix it. That's basically it. Like just trying a bunch of shit and asking questions and checking all the metrics. And that's basically what you're doing. So like increasing prices, trying to figure out why churn was not working, trying to figure out how to scale our SEO that back then was already growing, but not so much. And trying to figure out how like the clips, so many things, just shooting everywhere basically. So we noticed, yeah, cool. Like it's growing. Our MRR is growing again. We are recovering from December. And that happened for like 2 or 3 months. So around, I think, March, April, we noticed that growth that came after the Product Hunt launch was now stopping again. And once again, we are slowly decreasing. Our MRR was reducing a bit. And just for you to understand, we reached September, you know, when I first started this episode, our MRR was probably around 11K or so. And now we were at like 13K. So for the first 7 months, we grew like 10K to 11K. And then for the next, I don't even know, like 7 months again, we grew like 3K. So it's, and now we are decreasing. Very frustrating. It's very frustrating because, again, I mean, people like that. You try to figure out why people are churning. You don't really understand, which is really frustrating. And sure, most people would just say, yeah, I don't have my podcast anymore. I don't use it anymore. It's not saving me enough time. You know, a lot of things that you don't really understand. Like, okay, what can I do? I mean, what can I do to change that? So we start noticing this degrowth. And it somehow seemed that this degrowth started when we increased the prices. And that was the discussion with João. Like, he was convinced that it was the reason. That, yeah, increasing the prices was a mistake. We were growing and now we are not. But I would go back to the metrics and try to see conversion, try to see all of these things. And it didn't add up. I mean, yeah, conversion was basically the same. So no, it was not that. And at the same time, and this is very weird, our traffic was actually growing. Yeah, so even though we were degrowing and our MRR was going down, the traffic was going up. How? Right? How is this happening? So this is, get ready, buckle up, because this was a huge revelation for us. So after that, and this passed, a few months passed, and then around June, or even before, was it May? We went to another conference. This time not sponsors, we went to a conference just for podcasts. It's called the London Podcast Show. It was really fun, by the way, really cool. I mean, again, for me, it was really fun. For João, is a bit less into conferences, but like the trip itself was cool. Like, you know, both of us going there, eating great food. It was my first time in London as well. So it was a really cool experience, and really cool because we also got to meet a lot of people in the podcasting industry. So that was really nice. And when we were coming back, I don't remember how, but we got introduced to this concept of domain authority. So domain authority is basically a number that is given to your domain by Google that kind of decides how well you will rank based on your keyword. So when I told you that you want to be on top, you know, top three, you're going to be in the first place, what decides that is not only the quality of the content, but as well your domain authority. The higher your domain authority, the more Google trusts you, and the higher the likelihood of Google actually putting you in first place. Now, how do you increase your domain authority? And basically, it's very simple. It's so crazy how the SEO thing and the ranking is still so basic. Really, like the you would imagine that the Google would be a bit smarter in these kind of things, but no, it's still very basic. So the domain authority is ranked based on, or is calculated based on, how many websites in your niche, in your industry, are pointing to you. So if Spotify has in their blog posts, they are mentioning PodSqueeze, wow, that's amazing. Google will be like, okay, I trust Spotify. Spotify trusts the PodSqueeze, therefore I trust PodSqueeze. So you need to get a lot of these. The more backlinks from good websites you have, higher your domain rank is. So we start like working on that heavily. The problem is, it's not easy to get people to like link you, right? Because if they don't know you, and it's very awkward to just go to them and just, there's like this thing called guest posts where you can reach out to them and say, hey, I would write a piece of content for you, a really good one, but I will also kind of link to my website. Is that okay? Most people say no, right? So we're trying to always come up with these ideas. And in the conference, we got some contacts, and we did get a few kind of good websites ranking to us that made a huge dent, and our domain authority started growing. And here we actually realized as well that we were getting even more traffic. It was crazy. Because at the same time, traffic was going, but the summer was starting, and summer was terrible. Summer was really bad. Like every month, things were getting worse. June, July, August. August was terrible. MRR going down like crazy. I think it went down to 12K or something. It was really shit. Imagine, I think it was June when I really felt that my co-founder, João, was really demotivated. It was really, yeah, you know, I don't think there's much we can do. We cannot, there's nothing we can do to kind of overcome this plateau. I mean, the market, it's just too strong. I mean, at this point, we don't believe in metrics and logic anymore. We just believe in this kind of magic, the market magic, and that we are kind of haunted and we cannot face this. We cannot defeat this. So, yeah, I could feel this. And you will probably tell you if it is true or not, but I felt some like motivation going down, because imagine, like, João was convinced that there was nothing we could do since October last year or September last year. So after all of this, even though I kept telling, like, dude, we are doing so many great things. I mean, look at our traffic, look at everything. The website is so much stronger, the tool is better, now has clips. But yeah, the metric that kind of in the end is the most important one for us at the moment is MRR, because to be honest, like, PodSqueeze doesn't pay that well. You know, for two people plus a small team, it's not a huge paycheck. It's not enough yet. I would like to have a little bit more. And I'm not saying like, yeah, I want to be absolutely rich and fly private. No, I mean, you know, just the basic, like, just for you to understand, I'm making less than my job as a developer. And that job was like 3 or 4 years ago. So yeah. I don't know, we had a really nice conversation, and João, like, his strategy was, okay, let's start something new. Let's start a new product, something, and let's replicate whatever we had with PodSqueeze, but maybe this time in a market that is a bit bigger and that where we can get more money out of it. So I told him, like, dude, from my side, I still believe in PodSqueeze. I still want to work on it, and there's so much for me to do with PodSqueeze that I don't have the energy to do something else. But we do have another developer in-house, and this time you'll be the lead of this project. Because for PodSqueeze, since I'm the podcaster, I was more like the lead in the product. Like, this time you'll find something that you resonate with, and like, you come up with a product idea and you work with the developer, and together you will, you know, build this shit for us. And he said, like, yeah, cool, let's do it. So he started this kind of side quest of like coming up with a different idea. And at the same time, I was trying everything, you know, just shooting everywhere. And this is very tiring because few things work. Let's, you know, double down on that. Let's find other stuff. And then let's really dive into the metrics, understand this, because we, like Juan was still saying, like, I think changing those, increasing those prices, that was bad. So I was going through all the metrics and I figured out something really cool, something really interesting, which was, first of all, we started getting a lot of traffic from India. And I mean like a lot. So just for you to understand, like our main traffic has been until now US. But India was getting close to it. Nothing, no other market has come close to US before. So we're like, okay, so all of this traffic, like all of this traffic that we suddenly started having coming since the product launch, this is coming from India. But, and I kind of realized then that in India, the conversion is much lower. So that's what was happening. I was like, okay. So Product Hunt, there was some other consequence to Product Hunt launch that we didn't see right away. Product Hunt launch kind of was the kickstart for us to start ranking on the clips, like the clips keywords, you know, create clip, podcast to clip. It started to rank. We started getting more traffic from India, specifically in that keyword. So suddenly we did see like more people using it. We did see our traffic increase, but our MRR was not increasing. Why? Because the traffic increased due to the clips in India. And it's very, very hard to convert in India. Like, and so back then I looked at the this and it's like, oh my God, like I don't believe this. Actually, the Product Hunt has impact on our Google ranks. Like, I never thought on this, but yeah, it makes total sense. Because once you launch, like you'll get a lot of backlinks, a lot of attention. I don't know how it works. But my theory is that Google will see that there is like this spike of interests around your brand. So Google will rank you higher for a specific time. And that time was around 3 months. And that kind of stopped when I increased the prices. I know this is a bit weird. The issue here is that you are doing so many things that a lot of things kind of happen at the same time. So you don't really know what causes what. So yeah. That's what basically happened. In the 2 months after the Product Hunt launch, our Pod Squeeze was ranking higher for keywords that matter, keywords like show notes generated, and this increased for the US. Therefore, we started getting more traffic and more clients. So our MRR was going up. When that started to kind of dissipate, I guess, at the same time, the traffic for clips started to increase, but that traffic has no conversion. I know, sorry, this is a bit confusing. This just to explain that even though it seemed that everything was nice and our traffic was going up, our conversion was going down. So I tried to understand how we could get people from India to convert. And I talked with friends. I actually have some friends that also have like are in the podcasting industry in India. And they told us like, Indians, like, it's really hard. It's a very social country. So if I see my neighbor using this, I might use it. But if there's a way for me not to pay for it, I'll try my best not to pay for it. So he even advised me to kind of use this market as a marketing market. Okay, give them something for free if they share PodSqueeze with their social media, whatever. I tried. I tried a bunch of things. To be honest, nothing worked. So eventually I gave up. And we kept working on our domain authority. And this was August now. Imagine, August, everything going down. Terrible month. Terrible. It was so bad. Like, here in Portugal, by the way, nothing happens in August. Like, literally everything closes down. But I thought in the US was different. But I don't know. It's, like, really, like, down. Funny enough, churn was also going down. So just people, they just disconnect. They are in holiday mode. They don't churn. They don't buy. That's basically my conclusion here. So September came. I was hoping for September to return. I was just thinking, okay, September, when are you coming? Like, wow. And At the same time, we kept working a lot on our domain authority, and we found some good strategies, some really cool strategies to get domains. We tried a lot of stuff. We tried hiring someone to get us good domains, like backlinks. That didn't work. But then we started doing a lot of like domain exchanges, like finding websites and telling them, hey, I will link to your website, you link to my website. And that is working. So far, like our domain authority now is 45 and it's growing. So it's good. And in September, we saw like a huge growth again in the US. So more traffic from the US, and our traffic now, it's absurd. Like, I've never seen this. So just for you to understand, in August, we're getting around 500, 600 per day. In September, and now we're getting 1,000 people, like 1,000 unique users in our website per day. It's absurd. It's really, really amazing. It's crazy. So, of course, coming from everywhere, right? They are coming from India, US, Arabic world. At the same time, I also translated the whole website to a lot of languages. So we are also trying to get into other markets with their languages. And yeah, suddenly we started growing again. Suddenly PodSqueeze started like getting alive. So September was a positive month, a month with, I think, a growth of whatever, 4% or something. And this month has been great so far as well. It's been now where I think we're doing a growth of like 7%, which is amazing. We have reached peak in our MRR. We never got this far. I think now we're like around 16K or something. But it seems that eventually, if it continues like this, and of course I don't want to spoil it, but it could be that now we at least faced, or we were able to defeat this plateau of the 15K. I hope that this will not end soon, but I'm not sure. I'll keep you posted. But yeah, it's really exciting. It's definitely really exciting. Now, one last thing that I want to tell you is about the prices. So, you know, when I told you that co-founder thought that lowering the prices, or actually, sorry, the opposite, increasing the prices was a bad idea, I tried to do an A-B test. So an A-B test where randomly, once you get to PodSqueeze, you either get the normal prices or you get the prices 50% cheaper. Like, we really decided to make a huge dent and like, really, okay, let's compare our prices versus something really cheap and let's see how it changes. And you'll laugh with this. So we ran this experiment for the first 2 weeks of September. I reached the end and did the analysis, and conversion doubled. Conversion doubled. So there were the 2 times more clients with the cheaper prices. But this sucks because the prices were also a half. So actually, in the end, we made the same exact money. Actually, we made more money with the expensive prices, because if you pay annual or something. So I don't know. In the end, it was very much similar. But of course, that if you have less clients, then your margins are higher, right? So you're making more money. So we redid that experiment now in October, and again, nothing much. There's no big difference. Actually, again, the expensive prices were better. So sure, a little bit higher conversion for the cheaper prices, which is natural, but it still pays off to have less clients, but they pay more. So yeah, we are still making that decision. What should we do? Because at the same time, if you have cheaper prices, you can also get more people. It might be better. I don't know. But it kind of shows that the prices were not the problem after all. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the story. That's the story of the reborn of PodSqueeze. How we got something great at first, how we lost it somehow, and not because of us necessarily, just happened. And like the whole battle of getting this and getting PodSqueeze into an actual company, you know. And to be honest, when I look back, and I don't know if my co-founder agrees or not, because in the end, the MRR hasn't grown a lot. But if I look back a year ago, like PodSqueeze now, it's a much more solid company. And it's a much more solid product as well. Now, when people ask me like, hey, why is PodSqueeze better than the competition? Like, what is the differentiating factor? And I always like to say, yeah, our product is better. But that's very subjective. I mean, I do believe that our product is really good. But I also know that if our product is really good, people can just copy it. They can just come to PodSqueeze and say, okay, what is working for PodSqueeze? This feature, that UI, just copy paste. We cannot defend this. Like, we cannot create a pattern around this. But if there's one thing we can do, one thing that we can use rather, is our marketing, our SEO. Having this domain authority, having this notability, like getting to known in the industry is something that takes years to reach. So if someone would just now start a company like PodSqueeze, they would still be very much behind. Like, they wouldn't have these connections that we have with the people in the industry, our partnerships, and our domain authority and ranking. So yeah, for me, PodSqueeze is a much more solid company now than it was 1 year ago. We understand better the industry, and we have all these processes that make us rank better, and this strategy that eventually I believe will keep PodSqueeze growing. So yeah, I'm excited for the months to come. Obviously, I will keep you updated in this podcast. But yeah, this is the story of the reborn of PodSqueeze. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Once again, if you want to follow me, make sure to do so on Twitter, WBTiago. If you have any questions, if whatever you have, you want any advice, shoot me a DM. I'm there to answer everything. And yeah, please give a 5-star review to this podcast. And if you want to support it, make sure to buy a nice t-shirt, Indie Maker t-shirt, in my store. My store is also, if you don't want to go to the link below, is indiemakermerch.com. Yes, indiemakermerch.com. This was another episode of The Indie Founder. See you next time.